I once heard a homily by Bishop Sheen on this very gospel. And this is the gospel where Jesus is calling some of the men to follow him, to become disciples. And they all answer, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and bury my father, or I'll follow you, Lord, but let me say farewell to my family at home." And Bishop Sheen once said that he said, a lot of people go to hell on their butts because he said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me do this. I'll follow you, let me do that." And you hear this today. I meet people quite often that say something like, "Oh, I'm a good person, but I don't go to church." Have you ever met anyone like that? Or, "I'm a good Catholic, but I haven't gone to confession in 10 or 20 years. Or they say, "I'm Catholic, but I don't believe the Church's teachings on marriage or the sanctity of human life," or whatever topic it may be. Notice how people use excuses. In today's gospel, that's what they were doing. They were using excuses. They were saying, "Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me do something else," or, "I'll follow you, but let me do this." And we again see this in our society so often, that people say, "I'll follow you, Lord," but then they give an excuse, they give a reason why they're not doing it. So when we look at today's gospel, we see a very powerful and a very challenging gospel. We see the Lord calling us to complete following of him without any reservations, without any excuses. The Lord doesn't want our excuses or reservations. He wants our yes, our complete following of our Lord Jesus. He doesn't want conditions. He wants a total following of him and his teachings. When we take a look at today's gospel, we see it comes from St. Luke chapter 9. And it begins in a very interesting way. Scripture says that the Lord has set his face toward Jerusalem. That's the image that Scripture uses, that Jesus resolutely was determined to go to Jerusalem, which of course we know meant he was going to his death. Jesus was going to die for us in Jerusalem. That was his purpose. That was his mission. Again, Bishop Sheen said that we come into the world to live. Jesus came into the world to die for our sins, to redeem us, to open the gates of heaven. So it says he was, when the time of his fulfillment has come, he set his face to Jerusalem, that he was going now to his death. And he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he would be rejected. He would be mocked and scourged and crowned with thorns and beaten and made to carry a cross and be crucified on this terrible cross. But he said he was going to do it out of love for us. And on his way to Jerusalem, the quickest and the best route was through Samaria. If you're coming down from the north, you could go directly through Samaria. That was the easy way. Or you have to go all the way around the country. Well, the Lord wanted to pass through Samaria, so he sent his apostles ahead of him to prepare the way. But when the Samaritans, who hated the Jews and the Jews hated the Samaritans, heard that Jesus' ultimate journey was to Jerusalem, they would not let him go through their country. They would not let him pass through because the Samaritans were a mixed race of a couple different religions, and they worship God on Mount Gerizim, whereas the Jews worship God on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. They would not let Jesus pass through. Well, two of the disciples get very upset about this, James and John, the two youngest of the apostles, who Jesus would nickname the Sons of Thunder. they made an interesting comment to the Lord. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them all? Imagine that, the apostles wanted to, you know, cast down fire from heaven to send in consuming fire to burn up the city. And of course, the Lord rebukes them and says, no, do not do this. See, zeal is good, but vengeance is bad. Zeal is good, but revenge is evil. Revenge is bad. And so the Lord did not want them to burn up their city. And so it says they went around Samaria. They took the long route around Samaria down to Jerusalem. And then it's on the way there that these three individuals are called by the Lord to follow him. And they all give their excuses. One of them says, yes, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go and bury my father. Let me wait till my father passes away, and then I'll follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Sounds like a harsh comment, but he's saying there are other people that will take care of your father, other members of the family. The spiritually dead can take care of him, but I want you to be a disciple, a follower, an apostle. Come and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another one said, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family at home. And again, Jesus says, no, you can't come with restrictions or conditions or excuses. You have to follow me completely and immediately. And Jesus said, no one who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, in those days when you had to plow a field, if you kept looking back, you would go off the path. You wouldn't be able to plow a straight row if you keep looking to the back. So Jesus is saying, look forward to heaven. Keep your eyes focused on heaven, on the kingdom of God. Don't keep looking back to an old life of sin, to an old life of lack of spirituality. Look ahead, look forward, keep your eyes focused on heaven, on the kingdom of God. Don't keep looking back and don't be attached to an old life of sin. A good analogy is if you're driving a car, where do you want to be looking? You want to be looking through the windshield, you want to be looking ahead. If you drove and always looked in the rearview mirror, what would happen? You would crash. If you kept looking back when you're driving, kept looking in the rearview mirror, you would go off the road and crash. So Jesus said, keep looking forward. Keep looking ahead. Don't keep looking back to an old life of sin. Keep looking ahead to the new life of grace, of heaven, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. So again, we have a very powerful, challenging reading today, and we certainly live in challenging times here in our country. Last week you heard about our fortnight of freedom that the bishops of America have asked us to do, 2 weeks of prayer and sacrifice and penance for the conversion of our country, to protect our religious liberty, our religious freedom in America. And we'd just like to encourage you to spend time with the Lord in Eucharistic adoration, and we'll begin adoration again in about an hour or so after this Mass. We'll head over to the chapel and expose the Blessed Sacrament in Eucharistic adoration. So please sign up to spend an hour with the Lord. We have adoration all day today until 9 o'clock at night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then on the 4th of July, since it's a Thursday, we have regular Eucharistic adoration all day Thursday into Friday morning. So pray for our country. Spend time before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Pray the rosary for our country. We'll have a patriotic rosary on Sunday night at 7:30 and Wednesday night at 7:30 in the little chapel. And the 4th of July, of course, we'll have adoration all day. There's also the parade that goes through town, the Leesburg 4th of July parade. There are many families in the parish that are going to be part of a float, be part of the parade. So please wear red, white, and blue and show up at Ida Lee by 9:30 and join your fellow parishioners. Carry flags, and this will be a float to defend our religious freedom and to show our love for our country and our need to pray for our country. So it'll be a great thing for families, for moms and dads and kids to participate in the Leesburg Parade and to carry flags and to show our support for our religious liberty and religious freedom in our country. So these are the things that are happening this week. On the table in the vestibule, you'll see a sign-up sheet for Eucharistic Adoration. There are some hours open this afternoon that we need people to cover, that we always have at least one person there with the Lord at all times in Eucharistic Adoration. So take a look at the sign-up sheet in the vestibule and spend that hour with the Lord praying for the conversion of our country and the protection of our religious freedoms.